What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the TM Podcast, and I'm your host, Chuck. For this episode, we're going to be doing a throwback blowback episode, and this is going to be where I talk about an album that came out a while ago that maybe doesn't get the respect that it deserves, or maybe, you know, I just want to pay a little bit of homage, however you say that word. But I just wanted to give an album props from back in the day. Like I said, this is, you know, I'm an old head, so there's a lot of great music that's come and gone and people don't really talk about anymore. So I just want to give those artists a little bit of shine. So today's artist is going to be a little bit of a surprise. And it's a 96 album. So it came out in the golden era of hip hop. So everybody, once again, thanks for listening to the show. Sorry if I sound a little crazy. I'm a little sick, but, you know, We'll work through that. I got to get this episode out. So once again, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoy the episode. Leave me feedback. Hit me up on Twitter at OddCastTMP. That's OddCastTMP. Or hit me up on the Facebook group. That's TM Podcast. Just look that up. And there'll be links for all this in the description to this episode. If you're listening on Anchor, I'll add music to the app as well, to the podcast episode as well, but you can only hear it on that app. So tune in on Anchor, but if you're listening on another app, you can still check out the episode. I just won't have the songs in it. But all that to say, stay tuned. We'll take a little break real quick and we'll be right back. So before getting into the meat and potatoes of this episode, we just got word this morning that a young artist by the name of Juice WRLD passed away. And he had a hit song, Lucid Dreams, which if you listen to the radio in the last 2 years, you probably heard it getting played a lot of rotations. And to be honest, I don't really listen to a lot of his music. He's kind of that sing-songy trap rap. Not that there's anything wrong with it, just not my particular wave. But the impact that he had on a lot of the younger people, especially people like that I'm around, the impact that his music had on them, you know, is not insignificant. He, you know, spoke on issues like mental health and things like that. And in fact, you know, songs like Lucid Dreams and then a few more of his songs and albums are basically like the topic was kind of mental health. And, you know, he kind of spoke about dying prematurely in his lyrics and things like that. So people are kind of seeing correlations in between his lyrics and his untimely passing, which is sad. And to everybody, you know, that either was a fan or related or everything like that, I offer my condolences, and I, you know, hope that the conversation on mental health continues, and his voice can, you know, help other people. His voice and his music can help other people that are suffering through mental illness. It's irrelevant now, but like right now, they're reporting that he had a seizure, so it could have been, you know, anything kind of health related. You know, I'm just going to leave it at that. But for anybody that's seeking help mental health wise and is trying to find their way out of a tough situation, just be sure to utilize, you know, the National Help Hotline or any resources that you have. Like a lot of times, you know, people want to, you know, look at things a certain way, like you're not tough if you seek help. And it's not about being tough, man. It's about survival, to be honest. We lose a lot of people, because they succumb to mental health issues. And I'm not saying that that's what happened in this particular case, because it sounds like it could have been health related, something like that. But just the topic, the tone of his music, you know, he was putting all that out there, and kind of he made music in a vulnerable space. And I know that he was popular because he relates to a lot of people these days. So rest in peace to that brother, Juice WRLD, and my condolences to all his fans, friends, family, everything like that. And not to do it in a callous way, but you know, his subject matter speaks to the topic of this episode. This is going to be a throwback, glowback, so it's going to be an album that I feel was ahead of its time in certain ways, or an artist, you know, that deserves a little bit of shine. So, 1996, this was what some people consider either the golden era or the start of the second golden era of hip hop. And just as an example, I'll give you some of the albums that came out in 96. So, we started out the year. We had the first posthumous, I believe, Eazy-E album. I think that was it's Straight Off the Streets of Compton. This was like right after Eazy had passed. All Eyes on Me came out in 96. The Score from the Fugees. We had really dope albums, The Coming from Busta Rhymes, Masterpiece Ice Cream Man, which if you know me, you know, like that's one of the albums that, you know, back when I was DJing, I would play that album out almost. Another hit from the South, Uncle Luke, was Scarred. Like I said, I think I talked about Scarred on a couple episodes ago. One of the most ignorant summer jam songs of all time. And then we had Getting It from Too Short, which had Buy You Some, one of my favorite all-time songs. Either way, y'all see where I'm going with this. 96 was an excellent year for rap. But what kind of could get lost in the, you know, all those great albums is the fact that it was a just a crazy year for female rappers. And I'll say this is what I noticed when it comes to female rappers, women rappers. I don't know, you know, how to correctly PC my way through that, but women rappers, women who rap, rappers that are women, however you want to look at it. This was an excellent year for them because you had Lil' Kim's debut album, Hardcore. At the same time, you have Foxy Brown, Il Nana. And for every hip hop fan, y'all remember there was like a little soft rivalry that was going on at that time between those two. Where it wasn't really a rivalry at the time that it came out, that they both came out, but people kind of did the whole Lil' Kim, Nicki Minaj thing, like try to smash them together and try to, make them compete. And I don't know why they did that, but that's what they do when you're the top artist. And we see it all the time, like with Nicki and Cardi, Nicki and Lil' Kim. Every time more than one woman rapper comes out, you know, the hip hop community seems like, oh, they can't exist at the same time. We got to make them go together or go at each other, which is kind of like, you know, feeds back into they do it to guys too. That's why J. Cole said, or Middle Child, that's why he said, y'all act like two legends just can't coexist. Which is, you know, that's true. Like, we love to see a battle as a hip hop audience, but I think it'd be dope if we just let everybody eat without comparing them. Because when Foxy and Lil' Kim came out, they weren't trying to compare themselves to each other. As a matter of fact, I think they worked together on a few songs. So, you know, it wasn't like a, we can only have one. We can only do this, do that. But what kind of gets lost in the sauce, speaking of 96, is you had Lil' Kim, you had Foxy Brown, but you also had one of my favorites. You had Sugar T from The Click, E-40's little sister. The Conscious Daughters came out. I didn't really mess with that album too much. But Bahamadia came out at the same time. Kalash, that album dropped. And then you had MC Lyte put out an album that same year. Heather B put out an album. So at the time, you know, there was a ton of female rappers, women rappers that were coming out at the same time that were just making like incredibly dope content, like really, really dope. It might have been, you know, the year of the women rappers, but you know, the overarching, you know, storyline was Lil' Kim versus Foxy Brown. With them as rappers, you know, they were coming off of the, like, Lil' Kim was kind of in the Junior Mafia mode, so she was coming with, I mean, the title of her album is Hardcore, so she was hardcore rap. And then you had Foxy Brown, who was loosely affiliated with Jay-Z. And if you look at the credits, S. Dot Carter shows up in a lot of the publishing credits for Ayo Nana. Not saying that that's a bad thing, just saying that, you know, he was involved in what she had going on at the time. And, you know, you could tell that a little bit in the flow. And they had Ain't No on Jay-Z's album on Reasonable Doubt, which was kind of a hit for both of them. So it makes sense, you know, they put it together. They had, you know, the chemistry. Big had Lil' Kim. Jay-Z had Foxy Brown. And, you know, it made sense that these two would be the rising stars at the time. It just made sense. But the album that I want to talk about for this episode is, it came out in March of 1996. And it's from, the album's called Until the Day, and it was from the rapper Nonchalant. And I feel like this, she's a artist that came out. She was dope. She was from a different region than a lot of other people from the DMV, DC area. And her album was like butter smooth. It wasn't hardcore. It was, I mean, her lyrics, the way she spit was hardcore, but her beats were, they were kind of like smoothed out. So it was kind of like, it came out in March, but it was more like a summer jam album. It would run from spring into summer. You could put it on. There wasn't anything on there that I would skip, I remember. But, you know, everybody's going to remember, of course, the single off of that, which is 5 O'Clock in the Morning. Or 5 O'Clock is the name of the song. But 5 O'Clock in the Morning, where you going to be outside on the corner? That was the hook for that out for that song. And Nonchalant, unfortunately, like, she came out in 96, and I think she may have dropped something, like, right after. Maybe, like, a group song, Posse Cut, or something like that. But you really didn't hear too much from her after that. And while I was researching this episode, I was looking up, you know, what else has she done? You know, maybe there's some albums that slipped through the cracks. And it looks like after she put out this album, it didn't do the numbers that I guess the label expected. So, you know, she took her creative talents, went back home, and became an actual butcher. So she was like cutting up tracks and then went to cutting up meat. But, you know, that's kind of crazy, though, how the business goes. If you listen to the album, it was very dope, but it was kind of like in the lane of like a lot of people that had hits. Like I said, 96 was a monster year. Just go back and look up 1996 hip hop albums and you're going to be like, how did anybody come out? How do we remember any of these rappers? I mean, so many classic albums, and I'm like, bona fide classics came out that year. So unfortunately, you know, hers wasn't one of the ones that did the big numbers like you would expect or like the label would expect. But to her credit, 5 O'Clock did go gold. And what was different about this is 96 is kind of the era where people started to get jiggy. We started to move to more of the sophisticated gangster rapper. It was moving away from the hardcore boom bap type beats and everything like that. But it was kind of moving into like the smooth gangster, like Reasonable Doubt era albums, which, you know, they were hard, but, you know, soft but deadly like a pro handle pistol, you know. that's a Jay-Z line. However, this album is very, very mellow, very laid back. The second single off of it was called Until the Day, which featured an interpolation of the Stevie Wonder song. And it didn't do as, it wasn't as popular as 5 o'clock, but still a good song. Video is decent. But what I want to say about Nonchalant is her music had a message. Like almost every song was either interpersonal or it had a positive message to it. And you wouldn't really expect like a conscious rap artist to be as popular as that song was at that time, because we were kind of moving into, as a genre, kind of moving into like a more hip hop, hardcore, hit the club type vibe at that time. So, there's a few surprises on the album. Like she was talking about some real stuff that really affected people. Here's what's funny. Again, while I was doing some research for this, what's crazy is there's not a lot of press promo, anything like that for Nonchalant. But one of the videos I did find was Luther Campbell, Luke, and he was on one of these daytime talk shows. Not even anybody famous, I don't think. But Luke was on there, and people were asking him, what about the lyrics? What about all the cussing? All the saying bad stuff and degrading women and all this other stuff. And Luke is basically up there defending his music, which is pretty much what he does. He comes out and people ask him, nowadays, 2019, 2020, what Luke is saying is tame, There's not anything shocking about listening to a Luke record now. But at the time, this is before rap was as big as it is. So I guess a perfect counterpoint to Luke was Nonchalant, and she was on the show as well, and she was saying basically like she didn't begrudge Luke for rapping the way that he did, but she saw her responsibility as trying to provide a positive role model to people. So that's really respectable. So that's a stance you don't really see from a lot of artists back then, because everybody was kind of like moving to this hyper gangster, drug kingpin mentality at the time, which is weird that that's how, we kind of went from the nonviolent, stop the violence, to like being the most violent, being like just the craziest dude out there. But this her album Until the Day was one of the ones that, as a DJ back in those days, this is like right as I was, it's a little bit before I graduated high school. So at this time I was DJing a lot of parties. So I had to like basically stay on top of what was popping at the time. And an artist come out of DC, you that really didn't happen. I mean, we had like DJ Cool, but really, it's DJ Cool, Nonchalant, and then Pharrell and the Clips. Like that whole DMV. There really wasn't too much that made it that far out of that sphere. But a few things for on this album, she did get production from one of Puffy's hitmen, which. I should do an episode on production teams, because the Hitmen, I mean, they basically ran the 90s. They were all over everything. It was like Hitmen, Trackmasters, Beats by the Pound, like all these production teams that were out at the time. But a couple songs on her album were produced by him. So she had that going for her, which was, that's pretty dope. And it was a wide-ranging, topical album. She had a song there, Crab Rappers, and I really thought like I was like, all right, let me check this out. 'Cause at this time, this is like right around the time. This is before 8 Mile, so this is before battling was as crazy and prevalent as it is now. But a lot of rappers would, you know, they would come out and they just spit on other rappers. So I was like, let me check this out. And it was, you know, she could flow too. It wasn't just, you know, hey, you know, get off the corner, blah, 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 blah. It was, I didn't come to play with y'all. And I actually heard a few tracks from her recently. If you go to her website, just you gotta look it up. She's spitting. She's still spitting. I guess she's a DJ now. But you know what I heard was actually pretty hard, and you know it's gonna be tough to come back out. You know, as the 5 o'clock rapper, you know that's where everybody knows you from. But I mean, if you get a chance, like listen, check her music out. But she has songs on there. She had a song 5 o'clock, obviously, which was the whole like, you know, telling us the truth, man. Like, we need to get off the corner. We need to stop doing nonsense. And I really wish, you know, that was kind of the message that was coming out now, because it doesn't really make any sense anymore. Obviously, people, you know, want to make money, but I mean, you're seeing dudes get locked up left and right. And I was watching an interview with Nipsey Hussle, and he was basically saying, like, they could tie you to whatever based off, you know, having your phone on you. They'll search the cell tower, and if they find out that your phone was in the vicinity of a crime, they could charge you. And I think that's what just happened to, is it YNW Melly? It might be him. If it's not him, it's another one of these rappers that's getting ready to go to jail. I think it's Melly, though. But, you know, 96, she was trying to tell us. And let me just say, thank God for black women. And I feel sorry for I feel sorry for all the brothers that don't listen to them when they're trying to help you out. Like, we got all this music just denigrating and, you know, disrespecting black women, women in general. But, you know, they've been trying to save us particularly for a long time. So thank you, Nonchalant, for having that, you know. Whoever that song helped keep off the corner, whoever, you know, was like, yo, I'm going to get right based off that song. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. Getting back to the album, she was talking about Lights and Sirens. This is another track that's on there, which is a song about racism and police. You know, that ongoing story, you know, 96. People act like this just started with Michael Brown. But, you know, people started listening once people got a hold of the internet. But if you go through black art from the beginning, there's an adversarial relationship with law enforcement. And hopefully one day, you know, those sides can come together and at least come to an understanding. If there's no mutual respect there, at least, you know, come to an understanding and, you know, find different ways if it's got to be legislative or whatever. But either way, you know, she was putting people on the game back then with Lights and Sirens. She had a few skits. 96 was like the big era for skits and everything like that. But she had another song on there called Mr. Good Stuff and another one called Looking Good to Me, which were kind of like your, I guess, what you would consider typical female songs of the era. So like in the 90s, it was like, hey boy, you look good. It was basically like a rap version of a Maya song and stuff like that. But you know, the album altogether was very cohesive, which was, you know, people don't really make albums anymore. They kind of make singles, or they make songs or albums where all the songs sound the same. And this, they had a similar vibe, but they didn't sound the same. But you could put it in and just drive around. I guess, like, I feel like in the 90s, we just put in an album, rolled the windows down and just drove around for no reason. That's like, you know, in my mental mind, that's what I remember doing for fun. We just drive around the neighborhood playing an album. And if we didn't have to switch, if we didn't have to pop that CD out or pop that tape out, it was dope. And this is definitely one of those. So that being said, I just wanted to give a shout out. The album's called Until the Day from DC rapper Nonchalant. And I'm gonna find the website. I'll put it in the description too. So if you're checking out this episode, read the description. I'll put in the link for the website so you can listen to some of our new music. But another throwback, glowback episode from the TM podcast. And the first one, if you want to check that out, was a few episodes ago. It was for Dos Effects. And I just want to say, I just got the new French Montana album. And he covers one of the songs. Doesn't really cover it, but, you know, does his interpretation of Lucy's, which is kind of a deep cut from Dos Effects Dead Serious. So, you know, them brothers are still influencing people. Hopefully, you know, we get some new music from Nonchalant, or somebody goes back and says, you know, I liked Until the Day, I liked 5 o'clock. You know, I know summer's over, but, you know, if you want to warm it up and chill out, you can check that album out. So this has been the Throwback Glowback on the TM Podcast. I'm your host, Chuck. Make sure to hit me up on Twitter at iCastTMP, or follow the Facebook group, TM Podcast, and leave a little bit of feedback. Once again, thanks everybody for listening, everybody for tuning in. And, you know, just kick it. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Actually, it's 11:53 right now. But, you know, soon it'll be 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to take my old self off the corner.